Nobody really knows the future, but sometimes knowing what's already happened is a powerful way of predicting what may happen next. Though people are far more complex than billiard balls on a table, they nevertheless are influenced by events in the past. Their current behavior is a natural extension of what's come before. If you can learn to interpret the past well, you can gain a more thorough understanding of people's actions, motivations, and worldviews right now in the present. Occurrences in the past can set up predictable patterns of behavior. Though nobody would argue that they're an individual with a unique will and life path, it's a fact that we are all influenced by our upbringings, early childhood experiences, and key events in our past. Freud might seem a little bizarre to our modern tastes, but he was essentially right in acknowledging the enormous effect early childhood has on the adult personality. It's easiest to see it in others. Nobody really stops to think that they're busy having a particular worldview. They merely think, this is the way the world works, because it's what I experienced growing up, and it's what my parents told me. Without a second thought, they let those assumptions drive their expectations, goals, actions, and feelings about themselves. If you can understand the themes and challenges of someone's life story, you can understand them, not as people with fixed traits, but as living, evolving beings that respond and move with their circumstances in predictable ways. What's your attachment? Attachment theory is one of the most prominent theories of how unconscious happenings during childhood affect people well into adulthood. Relationships and perception of yourself to others in this case. Based on research started by John Bowlby, notably continued by Mary Ainsworth, then by Bartholomew and Horowitz, there are four main attachment styles or ways we approach emotional attachment to other people. These patterns usually begin with children's relationships to their parents or caretakers and persist into adulthood, where they influence adult relationships. Our parents show us a model of how the world works, and this is for better or worse. We are helpless to abide by it unless we are made aware and actively fight against it. According to Bowlby, children are constantly assessing the presence and attentiveness of their caretaking figure. If the child perceives them to be available and supportive, he will feel loved, secure, and confident. As a result, the child will feel confident to explore and have a degree of physical and mental separation from the caretaker. This is a dynamic that will inform his relationships for the rest of his life. However, if the child perceives that the caretaking figure is distracted, unavailable, or unreliable, the child will experience anxiety and become fearful whenever the caretaker is not in his immediate vicinity. These feelings form the basis for the attachment styles, and they do persist into adulthood and influence our actions in many ways, romantic or otherwise. Eventually, four patterns or attachment styles became articulated: secure, anxious preoccupied, dismissive avoidant, fearful avoidant. Secure attachment. As much as we would like to think that secure attachment is the most common attachment style, it absolutely is not. And there's a reason the other three attachment styles have somewhat ominous names. People with secure attachment styles are emotionally balanced and have a history of warm and caring interactions that began in childhood. They don't approach people with a sense of fear. Instead, they have a strong sense of self and look for the positive in any relationship. They have a healthy range of positive and negative emotions and are less prone to emotional outbursts because they don't need to assume the worst. They may be independent or relatively dependent, but it's a conscious choice and not based on anxiety or fear. Of course, this all stems from healthy and secure interactions with their primary caretakers. Securely attached people feel comfortable with intimacy. They do not view it as a threat or as something that can lure them into a false sense of security, only to be taken away. Not surprisingly, these people are able to be genuinely open and loving. The biggest difference between securely attached people and other types of people is their lack of insecurity. This allows them to open themselves up to others yet give others space when it's needed. They're not jealous or possessive, and they don't have nightmares about being cheated on. They are attentive but relaxed, and generally allow independence and freedom because they don't feel they have anything to worry about. Don't make the mistake of assuming that your attachment style is automatically secure or healthy. If you don't take the time to diagnose yourself, and you subsequently attempt to remedy or fix a problem with your relationships, it's like taking a random medication to treat an illness. It doesn't make sense to do that. And yes, loving others does indeed start with loving yourself. Hello, listeners. We're going to break from the episode for just a moment to bring you a word from our sponsor, Let's Get Checked. You know now about the availability and importance of the male hormone test, but Let's Get Checked has a full suite of wellness tests designed for those who want to take control of their health. A simple at-home test can give you insight into the health of your thyroid, liver, colon, and kidneys. You can also check for blood levels of cortisol, cholesterol, your vitamin levels, iron and omega fatty acid levels, folate, and C-reactive proteins. Tests are available to help you diagnose and manage Lyme disease, diabetes, and celiac disease, as well as their new, less invasive test for COVID-19. Take a moment to check out their full line of health and wellness tests and get your 20% discount by going to trylgc.com/NMG. That's trylgc.com/N as in Newton, M as in media, G as in group. And now, let's get back to the podcast episode. Anxious, preoccupied attachment. This is the first type of insecure attachment, and it is defined by anxiety and preoccupation with the relationship. It's important to keep in mind that all of the insecure or anxious styles of attachment spring from an absent, caretaking figure. People with this attachment style tend to fixate on whether their partner loves them as much as they love their partner. It's a constant source of anxiety for them, because they can never be adequately reassured. Every small sign that could possibly be interpreted as negative is unequivocally negative to them and causes them significant mental anguish. They tend to measure this on a daily basis, which causes undue stress. At the heart of it, people with this attachment style are very insecure and don't regard themselves in a very positive light. They doubt that their partner is able to love them in a true and genuine way. There's an inferiority complex at work here, and constant validation is required in any and all forms. Their anxiety goes into remission when they are in close contact with their paramour, so they naturally want more and more. Interestingly, they focus mainly on the love they are receiving, not the love they're giving to their partner. This is a serious problem because the classic definition of love, of course, is a person giving. By many accounts, true love is measured by what you provide, what you sacrifice, and the emotional value you give to another person. This begs the question, do people with this attachment style feel true love? Or is a relationship merely a vehicle to validate their self-worth? Dismissive, avoidant attachment. Dismissive, avoidant people are focused on protecting their independence in their relationships, which can sound a bit like an oxymoron. They're afraid that once they get into a relationship or close friendship, they'll become saddled with duties and obligations and lose control of their life. They're happy with the fact that they're able to make choices in the first place and are fierce about protecting that privilege. They conflate deep levels of emotional intimacy with a loss of independence and control. To that effect, they don't feel the need for close emotional relationships because they appear to do more bad than good for them. They characterize themselves as islands or lone wolves by choice. Their very predictable response is to minimize closeness. They come up with arrangements to keep people at arm's length. It's not uncommon for dismissive, avoidant people to set ground rules that prevent the relationship from truly maturing. Avoidant people take great pains to minimize true emotional closeness and thus vulnerability. It's not because they do not love the other person, but they perceive strong emotional attachment as something that will rob them of their independence. So they choose to defend themselves. They don't lack empathy, they just don't let it dictate their actions. People with this style of attachment sometimes suppress their emotions because of how independent they characterize themselves. They have a very doubtful view of relationships and close friendships, so it's unclear if you'd be able to get them into one. They have a strong fight or flight response, meaning that if things don't go their way, they will often prioritize themselves first and leave the relationship. They can be very difficult to deal with for other attachment styles because their style of attachment is to not have attachment. When someone wants to remain by themselves, it can be a waste of time trying to introduce your needs to them. Fearful avoidant attachment. At first glance, this attachment style appears similar to the dismissive avoidant, but the dismissive avoidant is motivated by very different things. They want to avoid emotional attachment because they feel attachments weaken them. They're a waste of time. Fearful avoidant people avoid emotional attachment because they feel attachment only leads to heartbreak, disappointment, and feelings of abandonment. Recall that these attachment styles often have their roots in childhood, so people with this attachment style may have experienced childhood traumas or abuse. They may have been abandoned or betrayed by someone they wanted or needed to depend on. Despite wanting intimate relationships and emotional connection, they have issues opening up and truly getting close to others because a defensive wall shoots up that has been necessary in the past. Vulnerability has hurt them before, and they want to prevent that now and in the future. They do not have a positive view of others and have trouble seeing others as particularly trustworthy. Even if you have no history of wrongdoing and say all the right things, you will be constantly scrutinized by people with this attachment style. They are masters of preemptively rejecting others before they have the possibility of being hurt by them. Because they want to protect themselves at all costs, they are uncomfortable displaying affection, verbal or otherwise. They suppress any positive feelings to keep themselves within the moat of their castle, and it can be tough to truly draw them out. It may take months or years to earn their trust, something they don't give easily. Constant affirmation and validation is necessary, and any opposing signals can make them want to bolt for safety. We can use this knowledge of attachment styles to analyze people based on their actions. We can surmise exactly how they tend to feel about relationships and close friendships, and more importantly, how they treat those people. Attachment styles are one of the strongest footprints left by our upbringings. Unfortunately, you've noticed that 3 of the 4 attachment styles are negative in a way. The sad truth is that negativity often makes a more powerful impact, and thus we move to the effects of damaging parental patterns and how they can help us analyze others. This has been Think Like a Psychologist: How to Analyze Emotions, Read Body Language and Behavior, Understand Motivations, and Decipher Intentions. Written by Patrick King, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2019 by Patrick King. Production copyright by Patrick King.
Hello, listeners. This is Russell with Newton Media Group. And on behalf of myself and Patrick King, we'd like to thank you for the time you've given to the podcast and hope that you've found it useful in your daily life. We value your time, which is why our episodes begin immediately with the content. But we also highly value your opinion and would greatly appreciate if you would leave us a rating and a review in your podcast provider. Also, don't forget, if you'd like a copy of the free mini book on conversation tactics, take a moment and visit patrickkingconsulting.com to request your free copy.